Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Jonah, he is our first ship. He is a man of God of the Old Testament. So he is in the earlier part of the Bible, which is when God has his chosen people and he has prophets that are sent out to his chosen people. Now, a few nerdy nuggets about Jonah. Jonah, his name means dove, which he did not live up to his name because dove means peace and purity. But if you think of a dove as, you know, like a bird that's flapping around doing whatever it wants to do, then, okay, then he kind of lives up to his name. So that was Jonah. Jonah was called by God to Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city. It was actually a very powerful city in the Assyrian Empire at the time in the Middle East. In the Bible, it says there was 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. But what was interesting, which I learned in the deep dive, is that it says 120,000 people who didn't know their left hand from their right hand. So this was referring to children. So there was about 600,000 people living in Nineveh, which was news to me. Scholars also believe that there's a few different ideas, and I just thought this was interesting. And again, we're deep diving, so I'm going to share it with you. There was a large fish that was appointed by God to swallow this man, Jonah. You've heard of that Jonah, probably. The one who was swallowed by the whale? Yeah, there's kids' books about it. You've maybe heard this tale. And it is actually a historically documented fact that happened in the Bible. And I want to prove it a bit to you so that you can be on the same page as me. But here's a few different types of large fish that could have eaten Jonah. A white shark, which is 70 feet long, which has actually swallowed humans whole. The finocline shark, which has swallowed sea cows that weigh approximately 1,000 pounds. They can swallow these giant cows without breaking a single bone. So maybe it was that. There was also a type of whale who would follow ships because when they threw cargo overboard, then those big fish, these whales, would snatch up the cargo. And in the story, Jonah actually gets thrown overboard. So maybe it was this type of whale. But the best analysis they can come up with is the mysticite, which is the sperm whale, which seems most likely because the teeth are meant for securing prey. So they don't like break down the body. They actually just bring it into the belly. Like they take penguins, they take a 15-foot shark, and they bring them into the belly of the whale. And this is a fun fact and a fun story for you on a nerdy nugget day, is that there was a man by the name of James Bartley. He lived in 1891. And so this was a long time after Jonah. But maybe it was the story of Jonah that made him a believer, because he's like, oh, I know. So James, he was part of a crew who did whaling. And whaling, they did, you know, to take these whales and use it for oil and blubber. And so this crew was out, and they were whaling. And a huge whale's tail smacked the side of the boat, maybe revenge, I don't know. And James Bartley got tossed overboard. So he gets sent into the sea. The crew assumes he's dead. This has happened before. People die. They get thrown into the sea. But what they didn't realize is the whale that they caught right after James was tossed overboard had consumed Mr. James Bartley. And when they cut open this whale, there was James Bartley in the fetal position in the whale. Yes, very crazy. It took him a couple weeks to recover. Fair. And he was attended to by the captain's specialist just to make sure, you know, you're okay. James Bartley became a believer. Do you think maybe he read the story of Jonah as like, oh, you made me a believer. I am a believer now. So he actually committed his life to Christ. And if you're not convinced that this is a real historical event, there is a man by the name of Jesus who refers to Jonah when he walked on this planet. Matthew 12:38-41 says, A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So that's about the resurrection of Jesus. And if we don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, we have bigger issues than not believing that there was a man swallowed by a fish. It's very crucial that you understand and believe this. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment and this generation with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here, which is Jesus. And what is so cool is Jonah seems like a bit of a doofus, and yet Jesus is like, here's an example. This is what I'm going to do, what Jonah did. And it's like he actually used Jonah's life as an example. Like, have you ever screwed up and thought, man, God can't use me? But he can use your life as an example when we surrender our story to his, to represent him. And that's the main question I want you to ask today, that I want us to ask this morning, is do I trust God? Do I really trust God? And if I do, I will obey. Jonah heard the voice of God. In chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. So he got a word from God. He got an audible word from God. It's like, that's pretty amazing. And the fact is that Jonah was a prophet. The job of a prophet was to hear the word of God and then tell it to the people. Hear the word of God, tell it to the people. Hear the word of God, tell it to the people. So you got one job and he can't do it. Like he's still like, no, don't want to do it. And I don't know about you. Do you ever want an audible voice from heaven to tell you, you know, who to marry? What job to take? What business should I start? Where should I go today? What should I do? How do I take the next step for my future? Anything would be amazing. And yet Jonah hears the audible voice of God. But what we need to realize is that we are human. Jonah is human. I'm not saying we're exactly the same. But if our hearts are hard, even if the Holy Spirit says, you need to talk to that person, you need to be there today, you need to pray with that person. And if you choose to say, no, I don't think so, it's because our hearts are not ready for what God is calling us to. So it can happen to us. Do I really trust God or not? The third verse here in Jonah chapter 1 says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can anyone flee from the presence of the Lord? No. And what's crazy is at that time, pieces of the Psalms, which we have in our Bible, were in circulation. So Jonah would have known, probably prayed, like this prayer from Psalm 139 that says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, the belly of a whale, you are there. And he knew the word of God. And so something that's really important to know is that you can show up in this place every day of your life since you're, you know, an infant until you can understand words. And if you keep hearing the word of God, but you actually don't do the deep dive, you don't actually meditate and worship the God of those words and believe that he is living and active and that he is at work on this planet, well, then it just kind of falls off of you and it doesn't change the way you live. You can know the word of God, but it won't save you. In James, it says we need to humbly accept the word planted in us that can save us. Are we humbly accepting what he has called us to do? You know, do I trust him? Do I trust what his word says? When it says, flee from sexual immorality, do I get up and run? That's what you need to do. And it's like when you're feeling that way, when you're tempted, when you're in that situation, it's like you got to get up and run. But I kind of want to touch that. I kind of want to look at that. I kind of want to stay up late with my boyfriend or girlfriend and be in, put myself in a place of temptation where I'm not thinking straight. Jesus says in the Word of God, flee from sexual immorality. There are so many commandments about integrity, about honesty, about compassion. Do I really trust that what God says is the best for me? Do I really trust God? If I trust, I will obey. So Jonah, he disobeyed God. He said, okay, if God told me to go directly west, I am going directly east. That's what I'll do. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. And Jonah, he even would have chosen death over doing what God had called him to do. He's in the ship. There's a crazy storm that is sent by God. And he's like, throw me overboard. It's better that I die. I mean, then you guys will be safe, which is honorable. But then he's like, well, then I don't need to go. That works out well for me too. Our disobedience or lack of trust in God actually affects others. What we choose to do affects the lives of others. Jonah's disobedience could have meant death for every person on that ship. It affects those around us. If I choose to keep for myself what God says, Jen, you need to give generously to that person, and it's like, nah. Does that affect that other person? Absolutely. So we need to do what God has called us to do and trust that His best is always better than what you can come up with. Now, before I transition to Paul's story, the tale of the second ship, is I thought it was interesting because I can get a little judgy at Jonah because I'm, you know, like I said, he's a bit of a doofus. It's like, you got one job. Yeah. But the reality is, and I loved, there was a great teacher who I was listening to, and he said, if Jonah called to the Ninevites is kind of like, if you're thinking the 1930s, early 1940s, you know, during the Holocaust, this terrible time in history where people are getting killed, Jews are getting killed by the thousands. It's an evil time, and there's an evil leader. There's Hitler and the Nazis who are doing horrific things. And at that time, if you have, you know, Simon the Jew living in Philadelphia in America and saying, okay, Simon, you need to go to Hitler and the Nazis and tell them to repent because God has seen their wickedness and He wants them to turn to Him. One, terrifying. And two, you're like, I want to see him rot in hell, actually. And that's where Jonah's at. He's like, one, it's scary, but two, it's like, I don't want them to have what I have. I don't want them to be set free and to have and know this good God who's going to provide for them and lead them. Do you ever feel that way with your worst enemy? Where you're just like, well, I'd rather see them just go where they deserve to go. Not realizing that I deserve to go there too. God's grace is what needs to come and flow through us. And when it's beyond understanding, that's why I wore this shirt. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. And when we trust Him completely, even when we don't get it, it doesn't make sense that I'm supposed to be kind to that person, that I'm supposed to be honest on my taxes when I'm overtaxed as it is. But God has called us to trust Him with this. So now we have Paul. I'm going to move these a little closer. There. Because eventually I'm going to try live in two ships. But I might not. I don't know. It might just be awkward. Okay. I'm okay with awkward. So Paul is an example of what to do. Paul, in the last three chapters of Acts, which is the New Testament now, where Jesus has come and he has made the difference. And Paul, he is an amazing man, but he was kind of like the Ninevites. He was an evil, wicked man. I mean, he was a Jew, but he was doing a lot of terrible things. And he got radically saved by God and used by God in incredible ways. And so the story that I want to pick up is in Acts 27. And in Acts 27, Paul is on aboard a ship, the ship Alexandria, a grain ship. It was a grand ship with 276 passengers, and they were set to sail for Rome, for Italy, to probably for Paul to appear before the Emperor Nero. So he is on this ship, and he's like, okay, I wonder how this one's going to go. Because of course, you know, as soon as the ship sets off, there is difficulties already. And so Acts 27 verses 10 to 11, this is what Paul says to the centurion, the man who's his guard. He says, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. It makes sense. You're a prisoner. You know nothing. Just be quiet. And yet, Paul here, one thing that's cool is him saying, you know what, guys, this isn't going to turn out great. It's not because he doesn't trust that God can get them there. It's not that he doesn't trust that, but it's like this setup moment where this is going to allow him to be able to do an I told you so and turn these people towards God, which is so great. The other thing I love is that, you know, Paul, he's been aboard a few ships. At this point, he's been shipwrecked three times. And I'm sure he's like, God, do you think maybe we could just have a smooth sail this time? I think I'll still trust you. It'll be great. Let's just make it there without, you know, crashing the ship. Okay, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Whatever you think is best, sure, let's do your idea. Paul knew that God had called him to Rome, and so he knew he was gonna get there. He trusted God, but of course he didn't necessarily desire the route that God had chosen. There are so many stories, and one of them was in the 1500s. There's a father of the faith by the name of Martin Luther, and when he was wrongfully imprisoned, he translated the Bible. There's so many stories about being in these terrible circumstances that it's like, that can't be a godly blessing or a godly plan. That's a mess, and yet God uses the mess somehow. Do I really trust God? In Acts 27, it goes on to say in verses 21 to 26, this is Paul, and he's saying, you know, after some rocky roads on the ships, or on the seas, "Men, you should have listened to me, I told you so, and not have set sail for Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Paul is filled with hope. He knows, and he is communicating hope to others who are stuck in this situation, who do not know the one true God. Can we be those people in the midst of the mess and be like, you know what, there is hope. Because I know that there is a God who is so much greater than this circumstance. He goes on to say, "For this very night there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid.'" Angels always say that. "Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island." Again, like I said with Jonah, our disobedience affects others, and yet our obedience and trust in God affects others. When we are there in the middle of that ship and it's not going well, we can be those who speak life, who say, there is a one true God, and he's told me we're going to be okay. He is going to bring all things together for his good and his glory. And when he says, "I told you so," it's not because, yeah, you guys, I told you so. Aren't I so great? What does he do with the glory? What does he do with what he's been told? He says, God, the one true God, he's brought us through. So we can trust in that one true God. 276 of you will survive. Whenever you see numbers in the Bible, it's usually significant. It's like, not one life was lost. 276 made it. And what is so cool, another little nerdy nugget, is that when it says some island that they ran aground on, so on their way to where they were going, where they were supposed to go, if it was a smooth sail, they wouldn't have smashed up on the island of Malta. And Malta is 85% Christian, and they celebrate St. Paul's Day every February, attributing their faith to Paul preaching the gospel in AD 59 when he ran aground on some island. Isn't that amazing? Could God use the detour to bring about his plan? We can trust God because he knows and he cares, and his purposes will supersede and succeed. So, tale of two ships. One man who did not trust God, and then one man who trusted God completely. And the difference that it makes on that ship. I heard these great comparisons, and I'm just going to read them off to you between Jonah and Paul. So Jonah runs from God's calling. Paul runs to God's calling. Jonah brings danger to everyone on board the ship. Paul brings protection to everyone on board. Again, our obedience affects others. It is because of Jonah's disobedience that the ship goes through a storm. It's despite Paul's obedience that the ship goes through a storm. So even when you're doing it all right, things sometimes go wrong. And yet, again, we can trust God. Jonah is passive while others panic. Paul is intentional while others panic. Jonah resists his mission to the Gentiles, those who don't know Christ, those who are far from Christ. Paul embraces his mission to the Gentiles. Jonah reluctantly represents God. Okay, my mom always says, do it with a happy heart, or don't do it at all. Okay, Paul boldly represents God. Jonah watches the pagan nation Nineveh pray and panic. Paul is the one who prays while the pagans watch and panic. Jonah shows what happens when man rejects God's mission. Paul shows what happens when man fully embraces God's mission. The difference between Jonah and Paul is that one man resisted God's purposes and one man surrendered himself to God's purposes. It comes back to trust. Do I trust God? One man trusted God completely and one man did not. What ship do you find yourself in? Can I trust God? I encourage you, you can. It's a lot harder in the everyday, though. It's easier to say. Most things are. And you know what? I actually pondered. I was like, so what is the difference between Jonah and Paul? What happened in between here? So I feel like that's in your face. There. What happened in between these two ships? What happened between this time period and this time period? Well, Jonah, like I said, was a prophet of the Old Testament. And Paul is New Testament. We are living on this side. And we have something that is different, because does the fact that we are living after the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus change anything? Absolutely. It changes everything. And these are the two things that are so important to realize for us who are in this building, who are listening online, is that there are two things that make us different. One, we have the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection changes everything. Anything that seems dead can be made alive, or maybe you're feeling the opposite. Everything around you is dead. Everything around you feels evil and dark, and yet the resurrection changes everything. the Son of God conquered death, and we have full hope in that reality. When you believe that not only did God send his one and only Son to this messed up world, but that Son lived a perfect life, died a gruesome death, taking away everything we had done wrong or will ever do wrong, and then he triumphed over that sin and triumphed over death. He rose again. We sung, this is the good news. This is the gospel. And that is the gospel. That is what we are called to believe. I still remember Haley was in grade one, and her grade one teacher retold me this story. And there was a couple boys in her class that were like, Jesus, he's not real. And Haley overheard them. And she's like, oh, Jesus is real. And he's alive, and he's coming back. Like, she always did the hands. She loved the hands. And it's true, and we have to believe it. He is alive, and he is coming back. We are resurrection people. And number two, we have the Holy Spirit. Wow. You might not hear the audible voice of God, but man, if you listen, the Holy Spirit will guide and direct you. It is a game changer. Paul had the Holy Spirit. He got to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit, be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, when he met with his disciples, it says in John 16, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit is here. He is our helper. He is our advocate. He is the one who can help us discern and have wisdom for our next decision, our next conversation. He is everywhere. You know, when God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, he had the Holy Spirit in mind. Because Jesus can't be everywhere when he was on the planet, but he made a way so that we could have him with us always. He is here. He is present. And we can trust in him. So even if you're living in a mess right now, if you feel like you're on the sea and it's a mess, whether you're obeying or disobeying, God says, trust me. Trust me. Trust in my word. Start living that truth. Start living it out and watch how I can just work in you and through you to give you peace in the midst of a storm, to give you joy that is strength from him alone, not from outside sources, but from him alone. He will use your life, the good, the bad, all of it, for his good and for his glory. He is that amazing that he could use all of us to represent him if we trust and believe him completely. We can live in that ship with him. I invite you to stand, and we're just going to take a moment. This is a moment in history. This was a moment in history. This was a moment in history. They're true historical events. This is a historical event of July 12th, 2026. This is a moment where God said, gather, and you obeyed. You came on a beautiful, sunny Sunday morning. You came and said, I want to gather. I want to hear from you. I want to rub shoulders with my brothers and sisters of faith. Don't give up gathering. The Lord calls us to obey and trust in him completely. Trust that, you know what? The day's just going to get better because you decided to show up here today. Just because you missed 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Yeah, God is good. You could have been laying on your deck getting some sun. Well, the sun's going to be better this afternoon. And you're going to be filled with joy and encouragement because you came to God's house this morning. Thank you for trusting him. Now, I want to lead us in a prayer this morning because maybe you're ready. You're ready to put full trust in God and to say, you know what? I want to trust completely. And so I encourage you, we're all going to say this prayer together. You can repeat these words after me. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose for my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for dying on the cross, for giving your life for us. I believe that you are the only way to live a life fulfilled and with purpose. You offer the gift of eternal life and abundant life now and to come. I want to receive that gift. I want to fully surrender to you, to completely trust you. Thank you for filling me now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.